Audacity. India backing Jamaica's candidate for Commonwealth Secretary General. Coming up, the Caribbean News Roundup with me, Ken Richards. While CARICOM leaders continue to grapple with their nomination for Secretary General of the Commonwealth, Jamaica's nominee is getting India's support, a country which has more than half of the 2.4 billion people living in the 54-member Commonwealth. Roy Sanford has this report.
The Jamaica Gleaner has reported that India's High Commissioner to Jamaica, Masakui Rongsong, is supporting Foreign Affairs Minister Kamina Johnson-Smith in a bid to topple Baroness Patricia Scotland, who currently holds the position. The newspaper report said Rongsong welcomed Jamaica's candidate, saying she is strong and fit for the job. It said he stated India is confident that Johnson-Smith possesses the ability to address transparency issues plaguing the Commonwealth Secretariat under the leadership of Scotland, which resulted in the suspension of funding from the United Kingdom, New Zealand, and Australia. Funding for several secretariat programs were pulled after allegations surfaced that Scotland circumvented the usual competitive tendering rules to award a lucrative consulting contract to a company headed by a friend. Scotland has denied that allegation and others. Rongsong said that his government is confident that Johnson-Smith has the quality to uphold the Commonwealth's core values of transparency, inclusiveness, and consensus. "We are happy and we welcome her candidature," the Gleaner quoted him as saying. "We seriously think that she has the leadership quality in terms of her experience, in terms of her personal commitment to these values. This is an election and we will be supporting the candidate who carries these values." He went on to say that India will support the person who gives deference and who puts a lot of emphasis on inclusiveness and conducting business in a transparent manner.
As the challenge on the matter of the Commonwealth Secretary General election draws closer, CARICOM has outlined plans to meet with the two prospective candidates for Secretary General. A date and time has not been announced. However, according to a recent release from CARICOM, the two candidates, the incumbent Patricia Scotland and Jamaica's Kamina John-Smith, will meet with a subcommittee comprising of some of the CARICOM members. Here's Observer Radio.
Antiguan Barbuda is not included in that subcommittee. Instead, the Bahamas, Belize, Dominica, Guyana, St. Vincent and the Grenadines, and Jamaica have been chosen. It is the hope that following that meeting, CARICOM will decide on a single nominee. The Caribbean community reaffirms the obligation of member states to coordinate foreign policy as outlined in the revised Treaty of Chaguaramas. There has been some controversy surrounding this nomination period, as initially the consensus from CARICOM was that they throw their support behind Dominican-born Scotland. But that consensus was quickly dismantled as Jamaica announced last week that they are nominating their foreign affairs and foreign trade minister Kamina Johnson-Smith for the position. The nomination was met with scrutiny from several CARICOM countries, including Antigua and Barbuda, as Prime Minister Gaston Brown labeled the move as a, quote, "monumental error," end quote. Brown went on to say it risked dividing the regional group that gave overwhelming support for Scotland to get a second term. But Prime Minister Andrew Holness told Jamaica's parliament on Tuesday Jamaica was approached to enter the race. Scotland, whose extended first term will end in June, has been mired in controversy over her governance of the Commonwealth Secretariat. An audit revealed that a contract was awarded to an insolvent company belonging to her personal friend. She has denied these allegations.
Meanwhile, in Jamaica, the People's National Party has argued that the manner in which the government announced Senator Kamina Johnson-Smith's candidacy for Commonwealth Secretary General has created a very messy situation, as CVM News reports.
The manner and context of the recent announcement of Jamaica's decision to put up a candidate as Secretary General of the Commonwealth has created a very messy and undesirable situation.
Opposition leader Mark Golding says since the announcement, two CARICOM prime ministers have publicly stated that the heads of government expressed overwhelming support for the re-election of incumbent Baroness Patricia Scotland at the CARICOM meeting in Belize in March, in which Jamaica participated.
That decision of the CARICOM heads of government is formally recorded in the confirmed summary of conclusions of that meeting published by the CARICOM Secretariat. Jamaica's interests would clearly be best served by promoting solidarity and forging the united support of the Commonwealth Caribbean countries. When did Jamaica first decide to put up a candidate for the office of Secretary General of the Commonwealth? Could this situation not have been avoided, Prime Minister, by Jamaica properly laying the wicket to ensure that the country's candidate would enjoy full support from CARICOM?
In responding, Prime Minister Andrew Holness reaffirms there's impetus for alternative candidates to be presented.
Upon the withdrawal of the Kenyan candidate, before the March heads of government meeting, the consideration would be, obviously, that there is no other candidate, and therefore our support would remain. Since then, Madam Speaker, there has been a strong and persistent perspective that alternative candidates should enter, because obviously the issues of concern did not go away.
Aladdin Love, CVM Live.
The mother of a 15-year-old girl who died at hospital after being beaten by a close male relative says she has no idea how to process her daughter's death. The mother was inconsolable as she spoke to reporters at her relative's Shagwana's home on Wednesday. Here's more from TV6 News.
And I hold her. I said, Aaliyah needs to get up. He needs to get up. She never did. She never said anything. She never moved her hands. She never responded.
Speaking off camera to reporters on Wednesday, Vanessa Agustin recalled the horrific events leading up to the death of her 15-year-old daughter, Aaliyah Alexander. According to police reports, the teen was brought into the Coover Health facility around 4 p.m. on Tuesday, unresponsive, by a male relative who reported that the child was beaten with a belt at his Rig Road Claxton Bay home and she fell down a flight of stairs. The child's mother says she brought the child to the male relative that day to be disciplined over teenage boyfriend problems. After half an hour to 45 minutes, she says the man came out the home to discuss punishment like banning her cell phone use while still allowing a Tobago vacation planned for Easter weekend. She says he then went inside to get the child so they could return home.
When he gone inside to call her, he called out my name hard. And it was, Vanessa, come, something wrong. I said, what could be wrong? What could be wrong? What happened? I ran inside and I dropped on my knees because I saw her on the ground vomiting.
After administering CPR, they rushed her to the hospital where the teen died undergoing treatment.
A need to reassess and to establish the balance between the people and the government. That's one of the goals being espoused by the political leader of the Dominica Freedom Party, Bernard Itoh. According to Itoh, the current government has become much too powerful and has taken the role and certain activities that are beyond the reach of what the state should do. He is urging the Roosevelt's Carrot-led Dominica Labour Party government to be much more accountable to the people.
There are too many instances of the government, as we've seen in the last few days, failing to give accountability to the people, failing to explain to us why we purchased Dominica and for what price, failing to explain to us why Syria needs to be a partner of ours. So many more issues that simply indicate that the government has grown too arrogant and has forgotten that its rightful place is to be accountable to the people. And so the work is part of the process of re-establishing that balance, making sure that it is the people who calls the shot. And we say to the government, it needs to stay in its lane, it needs to recognize its role, and we need to rein in this government. And this is what this work is primarily about.
Some people might suggest the Freedom Party has a very low profile these days. How influential can you be on those matters?
Well, every voice adds to the you know, to the protests. The Freedom Party has a proud history and a proud heritage of ideas. We are rebuilding the party. We are confident that we can, with new energy and with new leadership, we can reestablish the party. I think we can be very influential. We've been involved in all the discussions, all the forums. We have been a partner in all of these discussions. And we think our voice has been listened to, and we believe that there's a lot more to come.
And as they indicated there, Ito was at the time participating in Wednesday's March for Peace, Justice and Prosperity, organized by activist Athi Mate.
Wave for the children, please. Wave for the children. It's a small action. Wave for the children. Wave for peace. Wave for justice. Wave for prosperity. But most of all, wave for the children. Wave for the children today, please. Wave for the children. You see, the children need to know that we care. They do need to know. It's not enough to care. Make them know that you care. And it's the same for peace. It's not enough to get vexed when there's no peace. Stand up and walk for peace. Then fight for peace. After you walk, you have to fight for peace.
Athi Mate during the walk denounced sexual abuse and other forms of abuse of children by adults, urging those at the walk to make that an urgent priority.
We sought the permission of her mother to pursue it because that person was in public office. Elected public office. The mother received a package from that same person. And she said, well. No matter how we try to tell her, is that the price you put on your daughter's head? That is what you would sell her for? The case was never heard. The young lady left the country traumatized, and I believe she will be traumatized for a long time to come.
Many of those on the second walk of the series expressed their opinions on their perceived ills of the country and what they described as the government's shortcomings.
We let these people trample our country and take away our rights. We are like nothing to them, but we know who we are. We are kings and queens, descendants of royalty, and I will not beg for bread. Jah will give me mine, and I will take mine. I will not sit aside and let these people trample upon my rights, upon the rights of my children. It hurts my heart. Why are Dominicans sleeping? What kind of spell has care cast over us? It needs to be broken, and now.
And today, I stand for what is true. I stand for what is right. And I believe I'll continue to stand, and I will continue to speak out until I can speak no more.
The use of our economic power, the use of our pocketbook, brothers and sisters. Spend your money in the right places, brothers and sisters. You cannot let your money be beating you.
And that's the Caribbean News Roundup for today, Friday, 8th April. I'm Ken Richards. Thanks for listening.
The Caribbean News Roundup. Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. At 7:30 a.m., 12:30 p.m., and 6 p.m. Let's get to know our region even better with OSAR Radio.